And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
At last count, Brown still had four quarterbacks on the roster. Okay. Is it worth juggling the roster to try and pick up perhaps a sixth or a seventh for Tyler Huntley, or is there something more that could be in play here?
It's a great question. Obviously, they view it as worth the keeping four, at least for the first, whatever, 24 hours. And that's how I think it'll be resolved, Jeff, is, yeah, they get a low-round pick for Tyler Huntley. I don't think they're moving Jameis Winston. I don't think they're moving Dorian Thompson-Robinson, which means it's Huntley. And they got a fifth-round pick for Joshua Dobbs last year. I would think Huntley's a little below that in the value chart. So I think it's a matter of Andrew Berry saying, okay, I can get something for one of my valuable assets, and it's not going to, you know, kill him as far as the rest of the roster. Whoever was that 53 guy, they think they can bring back, however they can do it, and they can pick up an asset. And I think that's the whole reason for keeping four guys for at least a day.
And then the replacement, once they get rid of Huntley, is basically what you're saying, but would be a running back? Is that where you, that seems to be
Yeah, I mean, it could be Dante Foreman comes back. You know, his contract is terminated, so he doesn't have to go through waivers. We've seen the Browns do that before where they'll cut a veteran and then bring him back a couple of days later, and that buys them a roster spot. So I could see Foreman coming back. They obviously have to add, if not one, two running backs, whether it's the active roster and or the practice squad. Tight ends, the same thing. They have two tight ends. They have to add someone there. So it's all, you know, it's this whole puzzle piece or puzzle, and you have guys that they can claim off waivers. So I think we'll see two, three, four moves today, and I would think that one of them would be a quarterback move.
Do you think Foreman is on this team, say, by Friday or whenever?
Yeah, by week one, for sure. And I think it would happen when everything settles down. There's no rush to do it with him because he doesn't have to clear waivers. It's, as long as you reach that agreement or there's a wink and a nod that he's coming back, that makes sense to me. Maybe they look at the waiver wire and think they can find a younger back that they like better. But I never got any sense during camp that Foreman wasn't going to be here, so I'm leaning toward him being the guy that comes back.
And if his ribs were banged up and he wasn't going to practice this week anyway?
Yeah, it's just easy to – he's an easy guy, okay. An easy piece to move around. You know, they did it in Michael Dunn with the pass. They did it – I'm trying to think. There was a defensive lineman that they did it with a couple of years ago, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, they caught him. And then he comes back 3 days later.
Scott, I'm just curious. I'm just throwing it out there because I just want to weigh all options. Is there any chance that they kept all four quarterbacks because they're fearful that the general soreness for Deshaun Watson might keep him out less than four games to start the season?
I don't think so. I mean, I've gotten no indication that they think Watson's arm is an issue. Now, given what happened last year and given that he's coming off the shoulder surgery and that there was a soreness last week, I think you want to have the best quarterback group possible, which means to me keeping Jameis Winston as your number two in case he's needed. And I think DTR had a really good preseason, so he would be the number three guy. I just don't think you keep four as an insurance policy. You could put somebody on the practice squad if you want, but if you think he's going to be able to play week one, which every indication is that he will play week one, then I don't think Huntley is the number four. I don't think that plays into it, Andy.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. Scott's coverage of the Browns, outstanding. Make sure you go read it. Tell me if this is the way you took this. Jack Conklin's little media gathering yesterday left me with the impression that in Jack's mind, he's ready to play left tackle. Do you think that's the case?
I do, and I'm finishing up that Conklin story right now. I thought it was a really interesting interview with him, guy who's been through so much. We knew that he torn the ACL and the MCL, and then I kind of forget about it. You think, okay, it's guy coming back from knee surgery, and he says ACL, MCL, PCL, meniscus, calls it the whole shebang. It's a long journey for him. I think you can forget. I mean, I get it. He's been hurt a lot. He's played 22 games and missed 29 over the last three seasons. So I get it, but he's also a two-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
That when you see him out there, looks good. He's the part, and he can still move, and he's still confident that he can play at a high level. It still needs to be seen. It's only one practice. But I certainly think that the plan right now, and who knows when Jed Wills will be back. It could be today, tomorrow, next Monday, and then they have a decision to make. But I feel like the Browns will get Jack Conklin ready to play left tackle week one in case Jed Wills is not ready to go.
Let me throw one name at you. Jerron Christian was cut by Tennessee yesterday. He stepped in last year and played admirably for the Browns at left tackle, made 9 starts. Interesting guy? Or that ship has sailed?
No, that is interesting. And I looked him up last week when they were going through all the tackle injuries and James Hudson was hurt and Wills and Cochran still weren't back and they had Jermaine Nefeti. I thought, where is Christian? And I had forgotten that Bill Callahan was part of getting him to Tennessee. So yeah, he certainly has to be on the Browns' radar. Is he an upgrade? Right now the question is he an upgrade over James Hudson III? And I think the Browns like Hudson's athleticism. He's been in the building for 4 years. He's a draft pick. But I think that's what the choice comes down to. Is it Hudson or is it Christian? And we'll see. You know, do they go out and bring him in, or is he a guy that maybe they keep on the can get on the practice squad, and then he could start in a pinch, maybe even ahead of Hudson? I could see that scenario, but certainly you still wonder about the depth of tackle given the injuries to Wills and Conklin, and he certainly makes sense to me, Jeff.
All right, not to go back to the quarterback thing here, but just one more quick quarterback question for you, okay? The NFLPA, they vetoed that emergency third quarterback rule. Did that have any play in the Browns, or do you think that had any play in anybody's decisions for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it probably did across the league. Mm-hmm. The Browns, Andrew Berry said that was not a concern to him, and not recently, but in the past it's come up and he's talked about it. And generally, they like to keep three quarterbacks. I know that they didn't. I'm trying to remember if they did it. They had two for a while, and then they brought in P.J. Walker right last year at the beginning. But in general, they like to have three quarterbacks. I think that was on the active roster. And I think that was driven home last year, given all the injuries that they had at the position. So I feel pretty strong that they were going to keep three quarterbacks regardless. And, again, I think the fourth one is just buying time until you try to trade one of those guys for an asset. But we'll see how it plays out. Maybe Andrew Berry sticks to his guns and there's four quarterbacks on this roster for another week or even to week two. But that seems like a stretch to me. And we all know how valuable these 53 spots are.
Scott Petrak's joining us, brownzone.com. And as Scott just said, he's got a story on Jack Conklin that will be up there shortly. The wide receiver spot, congratulations, Jamari Thrash. You look good. You made the team. Congratulations, David Bell. Injuries, you made the team. Are those two guys, you think, locked in on the 53, or could there be some – I mean, there are some pretty good wide receivers who were let go yesterday. Terrace Marshall, one of them. I think Isaiah Hodgins is interesting, who got let go by the Giants. Are those guys practice squad candidates, or could they even be 53-man candidates?
I feel more practice squad candidates because they don't like to – I think Thrash earned his spot on the regular season roster. Now, could they cut David Bell and try to bring him back on the practice squad? And maybe if you miss the initial wave of those waiver claims, it's easier to get a guy through and get him back on the practice squad. I could see it playing out that way. I was mildly surprised David Bell made the roster just because – I think he has a lower ceiling than a guy like Michael Woods II, who was cut. And he could come back on the practice squad as well. So I don't know if they're married to Bell and Thrash is on that 53, Jeff, and I could certainly see them upgrading. But I think Thrash, for whatever reason, I think he sticks on the 53-man roster, and I think Bell would be the guy who would, you know, be cut and hopefully brought back on the practice squad. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, when you haven't seen a guy in 3 weeks and you have doubts about him in the first place, That's my questions about David Bell.
You know, we went into the season trying to figure out what the roster was like, looking at the roster going, okay, this doesn't look like there's going to be a whole lot of movement. And to be honest with you, or maybe I want you to be honest with me, mm-hmm. that when you look at the roster, there's really only one move that I can kind of looked at and said, well, that was a byproduct of Luke Whipler getting hurt, and that probably would have been J-Van Cone on the offensive. Were there any surprises? And like to me,
undrafted free agent makes the team.
Yeah, he's like the only one on there that I'm kind of like, okay, and you see why it happened too.
Yeah, I thought the two biggest surprises were Foreman being cut, and if he comes back within the next 3 days or week, then that can't count as a surprise anymore. And Cohen making the team, and you're right, Whipler probably factored into that, although they went and got Nick Harris, so that felt like a one-for-one swap.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jermaine Ifedi, given he's made 83 starts in the league, given he played tackle and played guard, that experience would give him the edge, but they went with Cohen. And Cohen had a good camp. Now you have two rookie guards, you have Zinter and Cohen, and I think there's a little bit of a gamble there doing that, but those two moves were the ones that surprised me. I think a headliner, is, you know, besides the fourth quarterback, that was a surprise. And then one of the headliners is Siaki Ika getting cut just because he was a third-round draft pick a year ago, but that's not a surprise given he didn't show anything as a rookie and he didn't show anything in training camp. It's just, would Andrew Berry hang on to one of his picks? We know he doesn't like to cut his draft picks, but you could see the writing on the wall.
But we could also see him back at noon, too, on the practice squad, right?
Maybe. I'm not convinced about that. I think they realized that he's not a fit for Jim Schwartz's scheme. They thought he could turn the dump truck into the Ferrari, and I just don't think he works in an attacking, get-up-the-field scheme. I think if he's going to have any future in the NFL, it's a two-gap nose tackle that just clogs the middle and takes up bodies, and the Browns just don't need him to do that.
It's interesting to me, Scott, in retrospect, that they drafted him knowing the type of defense Jim Schwartz wanted to play and then try to make him something that maybe he isn't. That I go back to draft day on that one. It's kind of weird.
I completely agree. And that's why I brought up that Ferrari quote that got so much run at the time. They thought that he had whatever ingredients they were looking for. But when you see him physically, he doesn't look that way. Right? He looks too big.
Looks like Danny Shelton.
He does. He does. He looks like Danny Shelton. And he looks too big to be a guy that gets up the field. And I'm sure he has quickness and burst, and that's what they saw, but it's just not enough, or there's not enough strength to combine with that quickness that they saw. But it did feel like an ill fit from the beginning, and the more he was here, the more that became clear.
So I think you've got plenty of depth most everywhere. Tight end is an issue. Irv Smith was cut. Irv Smith was a rookie with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota. Highly thought of guy out of Alabama. I'm putting two and two together. Am I getting four?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting one. I think there's a guy from Philly, the name's escaping me right now, that was cut. I like Parham that was with the Chargers for a long time.
A big, tall guy. Parham, I think.
Yes, thank you. I was always impressed. Every time the Browns played him, he stood out to me. So
he's like 6'7", isn't he?
I know. Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a receiver, probably more than a blocker.
Yeah.
But I remember watching him run deep crosses and going, okay, this guy is impressive to me. So I think there's candidates at tight end. You certainly can't, I don't think, they can go into week one with only two. That third guy could be on the practice squad. He could be on the active roster. But you can't just go in with Njoku and Jordan Akins, because I know they've gone to three wides more in this training camp, but they still run plenty of two tight end sets, and you need three guys just in case somebody goes down.
There are 13 guys on the roster that are over 30 years old. Is that a change in philosophy? You could say 11 because Dustin Hopkins and Charlie Hewlett fall into that. Do you think that they've kind of changed their philosophy a little bit, or this is just the right time to have guys with a little bit more seasoning?
I think it's where this team is as far as competing for playoffs and, in their mind, competing for a Super Bowl. If you're going to be older I mean, this is what you're referring to, Andy. Mm-hmm. For a long time, they were the youngest or one of the two or three youngest teams in the league. Well, when you get better and you expect to contend at a high level, that's when you're willing to get older. Now, you can't live that like that way forever, but I think this is the right time, and they realize that.
All right, I hate this time now. They've made cuts, roster's going to get adjusted, and then, you know, we sit around over this weekend and think, can we get to some football, please?
Right.
I'm ready. Are you left more optimistic, less optimistic after what you've seen in the preseason, Scott, about this season, about this team?
I'm going to go overall a little less optimistic, and that's all about Deshaun Watson and the inconsistency with him and then the inconsistency of the offense. I thought the defense looked great, especially against Minnesota. I think the defense is going to be outstanding. The offense needs to carry its weight. But there's reasons to believe it will, and that's Deshaun Watson. If he stays healthy and available, you know, can he get back to anywhere close to what he used to be? It's a huge question mark, but I believe there is that chance. I've not written him off as done for this league. He hadn't had in the training camp, there were less than a handful of days where he had Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, David Njoku all on the field with him. That's what these 2 weeks are about. And can they build momentum and build that chemistry and streamline the game plan and get ready for the Cowboys? I think they can. And I think the offense has a chance to be what they want it to be. I just didn't see enough of that in training camp, and that left me a little less optimistic. I still think they're going to have a winning record. I still think they're going to be in contention. But it didn't give you all this confidence being at practice every day.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks,
appreciate
Scott.
It, buddy.
Appreciate it. Yep, yep.
Thanks, fellas.
Brownzone.com. Scott's story coming out on Jack Conklin momentarily. Go read it. Jeff Thomas, 2020.
We're going to change on the fly.
Seriously, I'm sitting here because you were saying something. I'm thinking, all right, here, let's go. And then I hear one for every quarter. Okay, that's pretty funny. Let's play complete. Just here's how this goes, okay? They think they might have something in place where they can trade Tyler Huntley for a late-round pick, and they thought it was worth a very, very, very minuscule gamble, perhaps, to cut a veteran and terminate his contract and make an agreement with them. Hey, we're bringing you back. We might even give you a raise. Who knows? And then that way we can get a draft pick here. Well, let's just say that's how this works out. Okay. Can we say that?
Yes, we absolutely can.
All right. So let's not panic and think, all right, you cut somebody you might really want to keep. I'm thinking maybe it's Deontay Foreman. And you're going to lose him because somebody's going to go in and sweep him up for more money. My guess is that's not going to happen. Is it worth all of the finagling to get a sixth or a seventh round pick?
Maybe. Two or three youngest
teams. If it turns out to not be finagling at all, and it's just a little bit of paperwork or whatever, and you pull it off, fine. That's fine. Are you okay if it ends up being three quarterbacks? Are you okay with what Scott said, where maybe you have four quarterbacks into the season a little bit, just kind of hedging your bet that is our guy healthy, and does everybody else on other teams stay healthy?
All right, so look, when we look at the big picture on this whole thing, the question I think, and we talked about this a little before the show, what is Andrew Berry doing? Does he think that he could hold out and get a fifth, sixth round draft pick for Tyler Huntley, especially if there's rumors out there that they'd never. I have to believe that there is another team in the NFL that picked up the phone and called and said, hey, is Jameis Winston available? That does not sound inconceivable, does it? Right? I mean, these phone calls happen every day.
You know what? No. Phone calls I don't have any issue with. I just have an issue, slight issue with this. And it's only this. We saw what happened last year when Deshaun went down and we ended up playing multiple quarterbacks and you found one that worked. I think they have one that works now as their backup quarterback in Jameis. It'll all come down to evaluation. And I think that the front office has earned our trust if they happen to determine that DTR is ready to go, then you could truly entertain calls about Jameis. I don't think they're doing that. I think Jameis.
I'm not saying entertaining. I'm saying that other. If I was a GM of another team, and I didn't feel good about my backup quarterback, and I thought I could bring in somebody with experience, it cost me a phone call,
right,
to call over and just say, hey, is Jameis available? Like, but I got to believe that that happened
but
somewhere.
I'm sure it does. But
I'm sure they went through like all the other teams they thought were the backup quarterback might be a viable option for them.
However, if I'm Andrew Berry, I'm answering that phone call I might get from another team and saying, you know what, we really like him, we're going to keep him.
Yeah, it's easy.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I agree, it's easy. But I also agree that if you're a GM in this league, you need to do your due diligence and try to go out and upgrade your team, no matter who your team is, right? I don't see Dorian Thompson-Robinson as our number two quarterback right now.
I would agree with
that. And so I think that that's something you kind of have to look at if you thought, well, you know, if somebody offered Andrew Berry a second for Jameis Winston,
well,
I think you'd be a fool to say no. You'd
except
take
for
it.
One thing. Is he valuable enough to you? And I would think you would make a trade for a second. I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to value and blah, 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 blah. But the value there is, what if something happens to Deshaun and we think we have a team that can win big this year? Can you do that without Jameis? If you think you can, okay, then you do something like that. I just think it's a fascinating thing to watch because it was actually a national headline on most every sports site. Browns keep four quarterbacks.
Well, because it doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, this is a team that traditionally keeps two, and last year
most
it burned
teams
them.
Don't keep four. That's for sure.
Well, you would think they'd have two on the roster and then one on the practice squad,
right?
And you know what? I'll be interested to see at noon when they can start signing guys for the practice squad. Will they sign a quarterback to the practice squad? If you think you're getting rid of one of these guys, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to probably pick up another quarterback somewhere. It sounds
not if you need four. You're not.
I'm just if you think you're trading 100% trading one of these four guys, which I think we all believe is going to happen,
and we all
you're
know
have to bring
we all know
guy
which
in.
One we think it is.
Yeah.
Scott talked about the quarterback situation. Dana, let's play the Scott bite. Here's Scott Petrak from a couple of moments ago.
I mean, I've gotten no indication that they think Watson's arm is an issue. Now, given what happened last year, and given that he's coming off the shoulder surgery and that there was a soreness last week, I think you want to have the best quarterback group possible, which means to me keeping Jameis Winston as your number two in case he's needed. And I think DTR had a really good preseason, so he would be the number three guy. I just don't think you keep four as an insurance policy. You could put somebody on the practice squad if you want, but if you think he's going to be able to play week one, which every indication is that he can't, that he will play week one, then I don't think Huntley is the number four.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think Scott nailed that one. What do you think, folks? 216-474-0092. Four quarterbacks for now. You okay if Huntley's the one that gets traded? Would you be okay if somebody else were to get traded? That would be DTR, who we don't think that's happening. We don't think it's happening with Jameis. And how about the rest of the moves yesterday? We'll get into them coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Andrew Hody's taking your phone calls today, 216-474-0092. We'll hear his fine voice doing 2020s in a bit. And Packer fan Dan is flying our ship today. That would be Dan Menigan. By the way, my buddy Dave he called me yesterday, and he said, by the way, I love Coach Kevigan.
Just out of the blue?
Well, it was during the course of a conversation, but he says, I love Kevigan. I love when Menigan does Coach Kevigan.
Coach, why did you keep four quarterbacks, Coach Kevigan?
It wasn't really why I did that.
Too bad. I just did it anyway.
Andy, we see everyone on this roster as someone who can make an impact on our rooms. It can make an impact on our organization. We were really impressed with how all four of our quarterbacks were able to perform on the grass and their ability to fill bonds with their teammates.
Gotcha.
On the grass. I love how all the media members are now saying on the grass when they're talking about
stuff.
How about
that? Yes. That's now the new media member line, too. He has infiltrated into their minds, this on the grass line.
Kevin has burrowed his way into your brain.
You know, Jeff and I were talking before the show, and, you know, we were in the prep room for our show.
Which has grass.
Yeah, the Baskin and Phelps prep room.
It's not really on the floor, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's okay, though.
It's legal now.
You know, we really felt like we were getting the optimum performance in our pre-show meetings by changing the light.
I thought he was Kevigan. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. He is Kevigan. Sorry.
Can Kevigan do the Guardians starting lineup today? No,
yeah,
let's have Medigan do it.
I'm not going to lie. We probably shouldn't because they're sponsors.
They'll get us in trouble. You know, you're in your 30s. I mean, how much trouble are you going to get into? Yeah, and Andy really. And I are way past that, so.
Do you want the meeting to go longer? You were the one trying to not get yelled at for our mistakes earlier. Now you're trying to make mistakes and get yelled at.
Good point.
Unbelievable.
That's valid.
All right, the Guardians lineup today for the 1 o'clock, or I should say 1:10 first pitch down the corner of Carnegie and Ontario.
10 minutes are essential.
Michael Wacha versus Tanner Bibee for this game. Hopefully, Bibee can go out and give you a couple innings and rest that pen.
Wacha.
Hitting leadoff for your Cleveland Guardians today, Steven Kwan, the left fielder. The second baseman, Andres Jimenez, will hit second for the Guards today. The third baseman, Jose Ramirez, will be hitting third. Josh Naylor will be hitting fourth. He'll be playing first base for the Guards today. David Fry will be your designated hitter. He'll be hitting fifth. Hitting sixth, Will Brennan, the center fielder. Hitting seventh, Jenkenzie Noel, the right fielder. At shortstop today, hitting eighth, will be Daniel Schneeman. And the catcher in the squat, throwing down the signs, Bo Naylor will be hitting ninth for your Cleveland Guardians today as they look to, well, at least take one, make life a little bit better, maybe gain a lead once again against the Kansas City Royals. 1:10 is your start time.
I'm just going to give you one thought, then we're going to get back into some football stuff.
Okay. About Coach Kevigan? Or
no, Mandy Bell has a Q&A with Chris Antonetti.
Yeah.
And Chris said something about the Texas Rangers last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up. Does this make you feel any better?
Mm-mm.
The Rangers won the World Series.
Okay.
From mid-August into September, they went through a 30-game stretch where they lost 20 games.
Okay.
They went 10-20 in a 30-game stretch.
And
in August and September.
Dan Menigan, 92.3 The Fan. Jordan Montgomery, Quadfire, and they had Max Scherzer. Just want to throw that out there.
All right, the Browns have four quarterbacks.
So is there a question in there? Is there a question in there?
Do you
make me go Deion Sanders and stop you from asking questions
in
our press conference.
With nine fingernails.
Do you think that having Max Scherzer and Jordan Montgomery catching fire helped your ball club?
Listen.
We have nine fingernails on Alex Cobb.
If you want to ask questions at these press conferences, I highly suggest you change your attitude.
Who are you, Deion?
Yes, I'm Deion. Although they had some pretty, I got to look them up, they had some interesting nicknames for Deion in the paper there in Denver.
By the way, if you want a quarterback next year in the draft,
yeah,
his son right now listed as the number two quarterback prospect by ESPN. Do we need another quarterback? 216-474-0092. Joe's in Parma. Joe. Hi, Joe.
We're good.
We're trying to just sit back and watch and see what Andrew Berry does with four quarterbacks, Joe.
I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to figure out. Oh, go ahead, Joe. I'll tell you after the. Go ahead. Well, he hasn't played enough to catch fire. That's part of the problem. We knew what we were getting in the beginning. We knew there was suspension in the beginning. And, injuries happen. I don't know how you can – I mean, I can't blame the front office for the injury.
Right now, there are 3 years left on that contract, though, Joe. Boy, there's a twist. It's –
I don't know that he gets through. I think that's the concern. There's a lot of people who think he won't make it through to a practice squad. He'll get picked up instantly. I'm just saying what common thought might be.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. Two interesting practice squad signings. Miles Gaskin, who was cut by Minnesota, goes back to Minnesota's practice squad.
Okay.
And Dalvin Cook is going to Dallas's practice squad. not on their roster right now.
Well, we're going to hear a flurry of practice squad signings here in about 11 minutes. Yeah. So that's when it's allowed to happen.
Yeah, it's coming on strong.
I did have an epiphany, but I don't want to break your train of thought if you have a different train of thought.
Go ahead. I was just going to talk about the roster a little bit, a couple of the moves.
Because I know we're going to talk about that. So, you know, you were talking about Deion Sanders a second ago. I was trying to figure this out. Please don't get mad at me for bringing this out. What would be more of a disaster for you as a head coach than to have Deion Sanders as one of the parents, as one of your players, or LeVar Ball? What would be worse? If you had to pick one of the two evils, you could pick LeVar Ball or Deion Sanders to be a parent of one, and you have one of their kids on your team.
LeVar went away.
He did go away, didn't he? I don't think Deion would go away.
I don't think Deion would either.
I think that would be an absolute nightmare.
You'd find him in the special elite wing in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that he wants to have.
Yes, this is true. I forgot about that. Yes. What would you have to pick one. I'm going to say LeVar Ball in his prime. How's that sound?
Oh, my goodness.
Has LeVar slipped? Do we know of a LeVar slippage?
He's I haven't heard a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think my answer would be Deion. Because I could at least turn around and go, you know what? You think you're so damn smart? You coach the team. And hand it to
and
him and walk
would.
Away.
And he would.
And
he would.
And I think the fact that I could play that card and it would end with me walking out the door and not dealing with it anymore, I like that. I would take Deion.
That would be my worst nightmare, especially if they were young. Could you imagine having, you know, their kids at like 13, 14 trying to coach their kids? Yeah. And say you had them both as parents? That is an absolute nightmare. That is why the 24-hour rule was invented. Don't talk to a coach for 24 hours until the game's over. It was invented for them.
It was, huh?
Yes.
That's good to know.
What a quandary that would be. What a quandary.
Oh, I'd take Deion in a minute. Because I could either get Deion on the assistant coach bench with me if I've had enough of them to go, hey, then if you think you could do this, then you get down here with me and you help me coach this and let's work together instead of you yelling at me. LeVar would never want to do that. LeVar just wants to complain.
It would be about calling the wrong plays for his kid.
Yeah,
it would
then be about call the plays. LeVar would never do any of this stuff. He just wants to complain. Deion wants to find solutions. I can work with people who are obnoxious that want to find solutions.
But think about how your whole team would be outfitted in like sweatsuits from Big Baller. Like, that would be awesome.
You'd get freebies.
Would it? Yeah. I feel that's like true. He would promise it, and then they would never show up.
Either that or he'd send you an invoice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's in it for a buck.
Yeah. What would Deion's would...
Can't blame him. It's all
just
about
imagine
the
what your team would look like if Deion was sponsored.
It said Deion makes total sense. LeVar just wants to complain. I can't work with you if you just want to complain. If you want to help me, that's a different story.
You're too analytical on this. Too analytical.
Beep, you know one thing about the cutdowns, to me, that's interesting?
Good right turn.
I think that, thank you. Did you see like the various lists by the various teams? I mean, these teams are cutting like 40 guys.
You have a choice.
That's, and you're, I mean, that's how many guys are trying to get into the NFL. And that's why when, you know, whenever it's like, boy, all of a sudden our safety is out, boom, there's another safety there. There are so many guys who are on the fringe of the NFL. And we'll, you know, we'll go to some of the, go to the UFL and play, you know, mm-hmm. maybe go to Canada. There's so many guys. And though it's interesting for us to look at cutdown day, and for a lot of those kids, and their dream came to an end yesterday. Some won't get signed to practice squads. Some are going to be outside of the league this year. They're going to be, you know, working some regular job, trying to stay in shape, hoping to get signed by the Birmingham Stallions.
Well, think about it. Right? What would you say? You think everybody released 40 guys yesterday times 32? What, almost 1,300?
About 35 guys, probably.
1,300 people got laid off
Browns,
yesterday?
Browns, I think 38 guys.
Don't you think that would be a major story if there was somewhere 1,280 workers laid
60% off? 40% of our workforce laid off.
You know what that means? Expansion.
Except they've been doing this for years.
I know. Well, it'd be easy to have...
Yeah, might be.
Although that would mean that you could add another, say you had two more teams, then you probably would add another 80 guys to that list of being laid off.
When it comes to quarterbacks, the guy that we always look to, who always has great stuff, is Mike Sando from The Athletic. We talked about his quarterback tiers earlier in the week, not necessarily complimentary about a certain number 4 for the Cleveland Browns. Sando with us next here on Baskin and Phelps.